Okay. It's 9 o'clock on the hour. I'm going to go ahead and start moving through some of the boilerplate, because I want to have a fairly open conversation today. We're going to go over the same kind of boilerplate we usually do at the beginning, IP notes, how we use IRC, Becca Scribe, announcements. And the bulk of the call today is going to be about what comes after DIDs. So a bunch of us in this community have been through the verifiable credentials work, and now the DID work is hopefully becoming a working group. Which means we're looking for what the next big chunk, and by big chunk, I mean it's probably going to take 4 to 5 years to incubate something here that is worth turning into a working group, which then will take a little bit of time, 18 months or 2 years, to get it through the working group. So, we'd like to explore in a very open-ended way what might we tackle that's of that order of ambition and scope and worth our time. So that's going to be our conversation today. Our IP note, this is a public conversation, but if you have not joined the working group and not signed the collaborators agreement, then please limit your comments. We can't accept substantive contributions. We do welcome comments and feedback and use cases, which is why it's open to the public. There's a link in the agenda to the contributor license agreement if you haven't already signed it and you're curious about what we're going to be doing. And I see Manu. It looks like, have you already signed up to be our scribe today, Manu?
No, I just started scribing because nobody asked me to.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. All right, we'll get to that shortly. So we do take call notes in IRC. Amy, thank you. We will sign you up for that. The world-renowned Amy Guy scribing for us today. So we keep track of things in IRC, and we use IRC to manage the queue. We have some notes about how to do that in the agenda we sent out. The one note that I want to bring up, we've been making a point the last couple of times. The conversation is held on the phone, so if you have something to add, please put yourself on the queue and give us all an opportunity to hear it and engage and respond. If for some reason you're only on IRC today, then we're happy to entertain comments by IRC, but please still do get on the queue so that we can manage a single conversation that we're all engaged in. We already have a scribe. Thank you, Amy. That's usually a chore, so really appreciate that. Introductions and reintroductions. Do we have anyone here today who this is your first call?
Hi, this is Shivam here. Actually, before I was a part of DID calls, but now for WEC conference, this is my first call. For WEC credentials, this is the first call which I'm joining. I'm basically working as a cybersecurity consultant for an Indian-based company from last 4 years.
Okay, great. Glad you could join us. Anyone else who's new today? Okay, how about a reintroduction? I'm going to pull up the reintroductions page, see who maybe hasn't done that for a while. Chris Weber, Dan Pape, Daniel Buchner. I'm not seeing any of these guys on the call today. Ryan Krantz, David Chadwick. Any of you guys around? Jarlath, Joe Kaplan, Kulpreet Singh. Matt Stone, are you on the call? I see you in the IRC, Matt. Okay, I was giving him some time in case it was just a mute problem. Michela Casaldi, Mike Lauder, Andrew Hughes. Come on, folks. Adrian Grapper, you here? Looks like you're here, Adrian.
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you introduce yourself to the group again?
Oh, sure. So I'm a CTO of a volunteer CTO of a nonprofit called Patient Privacy Rights, and my role in this community is primarily because there's an open source project that I'd like to think is a reference implementation of how verifiable credentials and DIDs can be used to manage health records. So we've implemented UPort about 3 years ago and are looking forward to aligning with the standard at the rate at which our developer community, which is right now consists of only one person, can adapt. And one interesting tidbit that's going on here I'll just mention is for 3 years or so I've been involved in the health records infrastructure for India, all of India. And right now, as of about a week ago, it's become sort of a formal government policy, one aspect of which is how they want to deal with medical identity, how they want to link it to Aadhaar, and decentralized identity is one of the proposals, which they consider a little bit out there, but it's actually under consideration.
Very cool. That is a very interesting update about that work. Glad to have you, Adrian, and thanks for the reintroduction. Okay, next up is announcements and reminders. So first of all, we're still doing the dedicated DID calls on Thursday. I see Drummond just joined. Not seeing Marcus on link, but Drummond, can you confirm we're still doing the Thursday calls? I think we may have skipped last week, but we're back on this week.
We did skip last week. We will be on this week and next week, and then I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks on vacation. But if Marcus and others are willing to keep going, we'll keep going. We basically have until assuming that there's a go-ahead with the vote on the DID working group, we have until that group would formally start, which I think is going to be a TPAC, to finish up on the community final draft. So, yeah, this week and next week, count on for certain.
Okay, very cool. Thanks, Drummond. Next week, August 5th through 9th, we have the BTCR Hackathon. There's a link in the agenda. I'll go ahead and drop that in the chat. This is a virtual hackathon, so we'll be having a conference call on a daily basis. On the 5th and 7th, it'll be at 10 PDT, and on August 8th and 9th, it'll be at 9 PDT. Please come join us. We're focused on BTCR. There are some other related issues around credentials and DIDs in general that are fair game, but we would love to have you join us. Next item is the Vienna Digital Identity Meetup. So that's going to be September 1st. And that is the Sunday before rebooting in Prague. And the idea is there's going to be a conversation with a bunch of the local community there in Vienna, and a bunch of folks who are coming to rebooting will take the train the next day and head up there. Rebooting is the 9th Rebooting Web of Trust. Is in Prague, September 3rd through 6th. We need to update that link. There is a faster, easier link that I'll drop in, just rwat9.eventbrite.com for tickets. Please sign up. We do, I think our next, it's around the 18th is our next deadline for advanced topic papers and get a discount. Please check that out if you can join us. We'd love to have you. And then after the Rebooting Web of Trust in Prague, the folks involved with Activity Pub are looking to put together a face-to-face. Does anyone here have any information on that? Anyone on the call? I think it's still fairly... Oh, Amy has something. Go ahead, Manu. Was that your voice?
No, Amy's got the info.
Okay, great.
I do, while Amy's getting the info, I do have a couple. I put myself on the queue, noting Drummond, for the DID spec, and this is really for the CCG, we have to produce a final community group specification before TPAC, ideally before the working groups formed, and that will take a while. It takes 4 weeks typically to go through the whole process. So it's basically we take a version of the specification and say we're done with it, we're handing it over to the working group, and then we get intellectual property commitments from people that have contributed to the specification. Basically get as many people from this group to sign it that have maybe provided some kind of input on the specification so that the IPR is clean when it goes into the working group. So, you know, it would take a week to prepare the document, a week to give people notice to look at the documents, and then 2 weeks for people to make the IPR commitments before we move it over to the working group. And based on where we are, we should start on that process this week. Just a heads up.
Yeah, hi everyone, this is Shivam here. Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, so basically I had two or three concerns. So the first concern was, like, as I had discussion with the Kim regarding the scribe volunteership. So basically, like, I tried twice or thrice to convert the marker, like the Thursday DID course, but there is some issue with the script. Even I tried to do the some changes in the JavaScript file so that I can I can make the changes on the GitHub, but still it was not working. So maybe, like, this is the first time, maybe someone could help me on some day so that in future I won't face any difficulty for that task. So this is my first concern. And second concern was regarding the Prague. So basically I was thinking to push a document related to the, I was thinking to draft a document based on the lifecycle management of IoT devices using DID and OpenID authentication. So that will be like FIDO compliant. So what I was thinking is a one platform where we can manage IoT devices using DIDs. There won't be any personal information, old information will be cryptographic information. And in backend, that will be using DID resolver and OpenID authentication to manage the IoT device department-wise and have control and updates as per the department need. Like, suppose the T-Mobile is there, and T-Mobile has a department called manufacturing department, and they want to install Cisco Jabber on the 100 mobiles of their employees that belongs to manufacturing department. So what they will do, they will just send the notification, or the device will just hit the URL and get the update. So that updates will be specific to the IoT devices.
Shivam,
related to the
Shivam,
hello.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we're having a difficult time understanding you in the chat room. Everybody is basically commenting.
Okay.
We're not sure if your microphone gain is too high, or if you're too close to the microphone, or what. But what I would recommend is that you share your concern and your details in an email, and we'll try to get those addressed. Sorry about that, but we're having a difficult time with understanding it.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. Okay, so we got the first part of that. Please send us an email with the second one. Okay, and I thought I'd act. I'll try that again. And then, so Drummond, you're up next.
Yeah, I appreciate Manu's. I'm constantly learning about the community groups. I had no idea it was a 4-week process to say, okay, we're community final draft. Community draft is final. So if But I guess what I wanted to find out from Manu was, does that mean, I mean, since TPAC's the third week of July, the third week of September, do we have to finalize something this week? Or, I mean, can we get until next week? I mean, that's the last two meetings we've got before I'm going to be been gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, if we, so it takes roughly 4 weeks. The fastest I've ever seen it happen is 2 weeks, but that was with a really tiny group, and this group is not really tiny. We could do that, Drummond. The most important thing is that we get that document in shape. Ideally, it would have been done before the charter went out for review, but that's going to happen any day now. So we missed that deadline. So the next deadline is before the working group starts. And in theory, that should be before TPAC. This is a nail biter, so it's probably going to be a week before TPAC. That is our last, very, very last date. So if we work backwards from there, in theory, we could start in the last week of August or the last 2 weeks of August. But that would be, I mean, cutting it really, really close.
Right. Well, as I said, I'm going to be gone for starting tonight for 2 weeks anyway. And I really, really want to be completely, totally offline. So I would, update the, to say in that case, this week's and next week's, did working group, or did spec, I did resolution spec calls, which I do expect Marcus is in Georgia, Republic of Georgia, but he plans to be on them, and I plan to be on them, and so let's try and I'll actually ping him and make sure that we and anyone else who wants to say I have a particular issue that I want to see it resolved in that next 2 week period, let's do that, and we'll get it ready for review. Manu, are you going to be able to make this Thursday's
yes.
call? Okay, that'd be great, because we can talk about what we need to get done and what the process will be like over that period, because we need your expertise. That would be very helpful. Thanks.
Okay, that sounds great. Chris, is your comment on this topic? Samita's on the queue for an introduction, but let's go ahead and we'll bump you. So go ahead,
yeah,
and then we'll get to Samita.
What I would really like to see is, last day that we can put it into our announcements for the next couple of meetings. So, I mean, my idea is maybe the first Thursday that Drummond is back, that we basically say last call for comments is that Thursday. We actually would love to be done that Thursday, and that Friday the editors are closing it for all comments, and they can take a few days or whatever to prepare a final version. But have that be very prominent what those 2 days are, and we announce it strongly. And maybe more calls out in the mailing list. Thanks.
Okay, and Amanda, you're on the same thread. Yeah, so go ahead, Manu.
Yeah, sorry, Samita. We should not ask for comments, because that'll open us up to a barrage of comments. We should just say, look, this community group we're cutting a version of the spec. It is incomplete. We know it, and we're handing it over to the group. And say that and basically wait for any kind of objections. But objections at this point is not going to, there's no positive outcome to objecting to hand this over to a working group at this point. But we can open it up for objections. People might say, for whatever reason, they may object. But that's it. We just announce, on this date, the editors are cutting a final community group specification. We will be gathering IPR over the next couple of weeks, and just leave it at that. Done.
Okay, thank you. So with that, we'll wrap the, I guess that really was all based on the Thursday call triggered that thread. So Samita, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Okay, thanks, Chris. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. My name is Savita Jernak, and I work at USAA, which is a financial institution. And our interest in this is to pursue potentially a blockchain solution for self-sovereign identity. And I've been reading a lot of information out there, and it sounds like what you guys are doing is what we need to get involved with. So I guess let me just start with a general question to the group. Is there anyone from a financial institution here? Do we have like private sector folks that are involved in this consortium?
That is a great question. Go ahead, Drummond.
Well, first we'll let others speak for themselves. I can say that many of us that are here working on this are working. I for instance, work for a company called Evernym that has a number of financial institutions that are doing exactly what you just said. They are working on adopting self-sovereign identity to address the specific problems of finance. I just left an hour-long call that included a fellow from Citi Ventures who was there specifically and explaining that he is there preparing a report for Citi. CU Ledger, which is a consortium of the credit unions that is focused on blockchain technology for credit unions, have chosen self-sovereign identity as the initial focus for what they are doing. And they are starting to bring credit unions into pilots as we speak. So other folks can speak up, but you're certainly in the right place. I'll put it that way. And there's lots of materials available. We'll be happy to share.
Okay, fantastic. I just want to make sure I stumbled into the right room. It sounds like this is a great place. So I'll bring some of my colleagues into the next meeting as well.
Great. Glad you could join us. And I see Heather on the queue.
Hey, thanks, Joe. Hey, Samita. Nice to meet you. It's really exciting that USAA is getting involved in this. I'm a big fan of the work, and you guys are a really innovative bank. I am a consultant, and I have worked with a variety of different companies. I have worked with some banks exploring this space. I also wrote this report with Kalia, who's on the call, I think, on NPE identity, and we specifically looked at use cases or market gaps from the private sector having to do with banking and finance. So you might be interested in that report. I'll put a link in there. It is publicly available because it was paid for by our tax dollars. But if you want more information, I'm happy to walk you through what we've learned. Primarily, the report talks about the application of, well, it does not specifically talk about the impact of SSI for individuals. It was exploring SSI for other legal entities and non-human identities. So I don't know if that's something you guys are interested in looking at regarding like LEI or other like risk management or things like that, or if you are primarily focused on the individual identity. And also, I'll reiterate what Drummond said, CU Ledger is doing some really interesting stuff. Also, ATB Bank in Canada, some of the Canadian banks have been doing some really interesting stuff on that too, and if you are interested in talking further, feel free to reach out.
Cool. Thanks, Heather. Okay, so I put myself on the queue. So I think most of you don't know this. We do have the demos from the Rebooting Web of Trust 8. And you triggered that for me, Samita, because there's a presentation with Rabobank as to what they're doing with self-sovereign identity. So there's about 2 hours worth of stuff, but there's a list of the presentations, so you can skip ahead to the ones that you want. It was a pretty cool presentation, I thought. Okay, seeing no one else on the queue, let me jump back in to wrap up our announcements. So TPAC, as has been mentioned, will be in Japan in September 16th through 20th. I know some of us will be there. The CCG is not, we don't have a space assigned for us, but I do think we're going to have a DID working group meeting of some flavor there. And then my data is at the tail end of September, 25th through the 27th in Helsinki, and that's a great workshop. Okay, so that's it for announcements. Next up is progress on action items, and I'm not sure we have much change here from last week. So we just have the LD key format registry administrivia, and I don't know, did we assign this to you last week, Dimitri? I'm guessing you haven't had the bandwidth to deal with it. In fact, your question from 2 weeks ago is, what do we need to do? Chris, do you know what's going on here?
I don't. So I left a, I left a comment on the issue asking to clarify. I'm not quite sure what's being asked.
Okay, that's a great question. Chris, I see you just rejoined the chat. Are you on the audio?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I got disconnected briefly. Yeah, my understanding, and you know, is that this particular document needed to integrate, have some sections added to it. I think Manu was the one who recommended that we merge things together. I would turn it over to Manu.
Okay, Manu, go ahead.
Yeah, so we had a registry called the Linked Data Key Format Registry. We moved in this group to change it to the Cryptography Suite Registry. And the purpose of the registry, I'll put a link into it here, is to basically have a full, just a list of all the cryptographic suites that we support. So that includes RSA, ED25519, the COBLIT stuff, basically anything that you need for linked data proofs, which we use for the verifiable credential stuff and a few other things. So the registry exists now, and to finish off this issue, we need to add a couple of sections in there. So right now we have we just don't have key formats in there. We have, like, you know, the for example, here's a link, the ED25519 signature format, and it links to the specification, but we don't talk about the key. Figure out how to make the registry a bit more clean. So we have verification methods, and we have key formats, and we should split the registry into two things, which is the registry should have a section for verification methods, and it should have a new section for key formats. And that's it. That's really all we need to do, is just add those two sections, you know, add some editorial stuff around it, and that should address this issue. Hopefully that clarifies things.
Dimitri, you want to chime in if you have any questions? If this is not best assigned to you, we can assign it to someone else. But if you understand what Manu just mapped out, it would be great if you could take the next step.
I think I understand what Manu just said, although Amy just mentioned that she might be interested in doing this instead. Amy?
Okay, great. Well, we'll switch it over and we'll check in on it in a future meeting. I'll add Amy as the assignee. Okay, check that. Oops, there we go. Okay, it actually kept you on the hook, Dimitri, but we'll you and Amy can work together and we'll check in a week.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. I'm certainly going to help.
Okay, great. Okay, so that was our action items. We don't have anything else in our review next. So let's move on to the main events for today. So, Manu, I'm going to give a modest intro, but then I'd like you to give some context about the standard setting process. So I only got involved sort of just as the VCWG was getting created, but these things take time. And in order, some of the ideas that we've kicked around in terms of what's after DIDS, I've had some one-on-one conversations with my fellow chairs and the chairs of VCWG and some other leaders in the community. And just about every idea that's come up, it's been like, oh, we need to get the implementers for those things into our conversation. So, you know, there's a long process here. And at this stage, it's all about ideation. What is worth spending 5 years on that will advance the work of the credentials community group in the most effective way? So I want to open that up. We're going to be talking about this for a couple months, not necessarily every week, but we'll definitely be talking about it at the various different meetings that we've just talked about in September. And hopefully over the next couple months, we can get a sense of, you know, what's over the next horizon. So with that, Manu, could you talk a little bit about the timeline and process for these kinds of things?
Sure. You know, these things typically go in three fairly large stages or three stages. So the first one that Joe mentioned is kind of the ideation process, and this is what we depend on the Internet Identity Workshop, rebooting the Web of Trust, and a variety of the DWeb Summit, like a variety of the, you know, there are conferences that happen, there are new ideas that are thrown out there, they get momentum until they get to a point where people say, hey, this is something really neat we should work on, right? So, for example, for the verifiable credential stuff, you know, ideation there happens between kind of the rebooting the Web of Trust was, you know, one of the first places that it started happening, and then it quickly moved to Internet Identity Workshop, and between RWAT and IIW, the idea was kicked back and forth until it got to the point where, you know, there was a solid specification and you know, it moved through the rest of the process. Same thing with decentralized identifiers. So the first stage is ideation. That typically doesn't happen here. This place is typically the second step in the process, which is incubation. So you come up with an idea, that's stage one. Stage two is you incubate the idea. And incubation is basically people start writing, you know, what the first specification might be. They start actually putting pen to paper and talking about the thing and refining it. And that's more or less what this group does. So what we're trying to do here is take those ideas, get somebody to write about them, and then get software developers to implement the idea if it's something that's implementable in software, and just start, you know, refine it, play around with it, incubate it, right? So that's what this community group is about. At a certain point in time, it hits the stage where we think it's ready for global standardization. And then we decide where to put that work. So it might go to the Internet Engineering Task Force if it's like a low-level data format or low-level protocol. It might go to OASIS if it has more to do with like business processes and things like that. It might go to the World Wide Web Consortium, which is the host organization for this community group. So it might go to the W3C if it has to do with the web or the internet or application layer stuff. But fundamentally, we find a place where it should be globally standardized, and then, you know, send it off to the third stage. So the third stage is international standardization at a standard setting body. These are very special bodies, like they're treaty signed around standard setting organizations and who can do what and from a legal perspective what it means. the timeline for those things is basically this. So there are three stages, ideation, incubation, and then standardization. The incubation stage can take anywhere from 6 months to, I don't know, 5 years. Who knows, right? And sometimes it takes a long time for certain ideas to take hold. The incubation stage takes about, you know, anywhere from a year to 2 years. And then the standardization phase typically takes 2 years. So it's usually a five-year process from idea to fully ratified global standard. And while that sounds like a long time, it goes by really, really quickly, right? So, I mean, verifiable credentials is almost done. The last 5 years is a blur to many of the people that were involved in the process. So anyway, hopefully, Joe, is that what you were looking for?
That was great. I know you have some suggestions, so we'll invite you back on the queue as we start kicking around ideas. It takes a while to get this stuff, and so part of what I'm looking at as a co-chair here and the chairs of the community group are trying to figure out what's worth 5 years of focused attention that is aligned with the mission and the community here in the CCG. So with that, I want to open it up. I know, Chris, you had some ideas in particular about looking at grief in your roadmap, if you want to hop on the queue to talk about that. Some other folks have submitted things by email. So now's a good time to hop on the queue, and we'll just go through folks talking about, you know, what do you think we should do next?
Yeah, so speaking as chair with Joe and Kim, you know, one of the questions that we have is where is it, you know, where are the places that the, you know, a multi-year process of getting to an international standard is absolutely required or appropriate versus other things that we want to support or build for that, you know, don't necessarily need to go through the entire international standardization process. So there are a lot of things where we can basically create an API or a recommendation or whatever that does not have the standing of an international standard, where it can end here. And, you know, we don't have to go through the entire process end to end. So part of what I'm trying to filter is what are the things that are, that, you know, really deserve standardization. And for me, those are things where, you know, people can use, you know, APIs, protocols, data formats, et cetera, as a way of locking in to a single, you know, model, a single approach that doesn't allow for competition and collaboration. So I'd like to know that. Taking my hat off, I know, you know, some of my pain points right now are, you know, how do we,
Chris, your audio just dropped out all of a sudden.
Sorry.
I don't know if you can hear. That's okay.
I can hear you. Yeah. So taking my chair hat off to kind of where my personal pain points are in the next 6 months to a year, one of which is the, you know, how do you request a verifiable credential, a verifiable presentation, and how do you do so in a data minimizing protocol way? I don't want just a static, give me your verifiable credential. I want there to be a negotiation between the two parties so that the two parties can determine, like, what's the max the client is going to give and the minimum that the requester is going to get. Because I think there's going to be a data minimization dance there. It feels like, you know, that's a pain point for me right now. Another pain point is that, you know, we still don't have cryptographically reviewed cryptographically reviewed signature proofs and things of that nature, and we need to be thinking not only about zero knowledge ways, blinding, cryptographic blinding, and things of that nature, but again, data minimization. You know, how do we recommend to issuers that they issue every single attribute individually by itself, so that a person has a package of 100 claims with 100 attributes from their issuer, or do we come up with some other scheme where they don't have to give proofs for all of those entries? So those are kind of my early pain points that I need answers like this fall. hope to hear that kind of stuff from others. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Chris. Adrian, you're next.
So going forward from Chris's data minimization, I want to put a plug in for working on the self-sovereign agent as a service endpoint in the DID document. It seems there's a lot of evidence that this is really the next thing that needs to be standardized, the evidence being in the conversation in both DIF and Hyperledger Aries around this, which I don't think is converging particularly quickly, and I think it needs a very strong dose of the kind of incubation that this group is able to do. And to link this proposal to what Chris was just saying, a major component of having an agent as a service endpoint is to negotiate back and forth semi-autonomously for this data minimization point that Chris made. Thank you.
Very cool. Thanks, Adrian. I think that's me. Okay, so two things, actually, but I think I'm in the midst of forgetting the second one. Let me just take a moment, and maybe it'll come back. So the first thing is, one of the initial ideas I floated in most of my conversations with folks, I just wanted to share with the group, it may not survive the bubble up and prioritization, but it seems to me that an API for how you interact with a wallet would be very useful. I think the wallet is one of the key points of leverage in this whole ecosystem. And if we want software from different parties to be able to have a consistent way to interact with a variety of wallets, I think some sort of API there would be useful. And I see it in the way of the DOM API in the browser gives JavaScript a standard way to interact with the document object model. So part of that, as I kicked it around, was also to have formal guarantees about what's behind that API. That may include guarantees about where keys are stored or what types of keys are generated in terms of HD keys or whatnot. But the idea is an API that has deep guarantees about cryptographic either proof or process. That's something I would I could see us working on. Jonathan, you're up.
Yeah, so I think it just listening to this, there seems to be a lot of overlap with the DID COM coming out of the Project Aries. And just a more global question is, how do we interact and create a synergistic goal with those other groups?
That's a great question. I don't think anyone's on the queue, so I could respond a little bit to that. Drummond, go ahead.
I was just going to say the same thing, or sort of amplify what Jonathan was saying, that you've added more color to it, Joe, in terms of the guarantees behind the API, but certainly standardizing the API for the wallet and the interactions, the protocols for key exchange and then accessing and sending messages from the wallet the whole DKMS project was undertaken to develop, you know, interoperable decentralized key management is now part of what's being implemented at Hyperledger Aries. So a lot of work going on there. I just want to reinforce what Jonathan was saying, that I think there's really good synergy and just a good way to figure out how to work together with that group.
Cool. Thank you, Drummond. Chris? Chris, we're not hearing you.
So I wanted to add to the agenda of the things that CCG can help with, which is the area around the nature of what's in a verifiable presentation, the credentials, you know, how they're packaged up, what is the schemas within those so that we can exchange things. I mean, it feels like there isn't a standard for educational claims per se that everybody agrees to. We have, I think W3C already has some schemas around education. Obviously, the, you know, block certs and some of the other educational things are, you know, working on that, but I'd like to see that reach another level of interoperability. I'm very interested in peer claims, things like, you know, how does one person issue a claim rather than it coming from, you know, some authority that is major? How does peer claims work from an individual to individual? Although I will say, you know, peer claims between issuers will probably also be important, like, you know, DMV basically giving a claim to a you know, a peer DMV in another state that they will, you know, that they respect the laws and rules and whatever of that other state. I don't know. I just think there's a lot of stuff in the actual details of interoperability of the claim data. Similarly, I think you know, there's a bunch of interoperability expectations that people have because of DIDs, and the reality is that the various domains of methods can't talk with each other. They use different proof methods, they use different keys, et cetera, and we need to begin bridging some of those. There's a conference in, I mean, a meeting in Wyoming in September, where I'm really hoping to be able to present some solutions around corporate records in Wyoming. And but I already know from them that they don't want to select a single DID method or a single vendor. They want to basically say, you know, we can work with multiples of those. And the reality is we can't actually meet that expectation. Sovereign, you know, can't work with, you know, BTCR or Veris One or the Uport variant stuff. I mean, we can't interoperate at this point. So figuring out where we can begin to interoperate, and, you know, I think there's some small wins in at least being able to verify, you know, to be able to validate each other's claims and be able to have a, you know, a mutual key on two chains. But we ultimately, the market's going to demand we do more than that. That's it.
Okay, thanks, Chris. So I'm up. I wanted to respond to Jonathan's question about how do we work with Aries, although I think Drummond provided some angle to that. You know, I think there's an evolving relationship with DIF, and we're glad that Kim Duffy, who's one of the co-chairs here, is also heavily involved over at DIF. My understanding is that that's largely about implementation, and I see it as proof of concept and proof of, you know, an approach, which we would definitely like to fold in to whatever standards process or standards work we might start down the pipeline. So That was my response to you, Jonathan. Dimitri, I think you're next.
Thanks. I wanted to bring up two other topics that I think were sort of implied or hinted at by the previous items, but I want to call them out explicitly. And that is the use of credentials in authentication and authorization access control. We've been very careful, especially in the verifiable credential community, to say verifiable credentials by themselves are not to be used for access control. And that's correct. But I think a lot of people see the natural next step in this community is to build that next layer up of using DIDs and verifiable credentials and so on in actual access control protocols and actual authentication protocols. And I realize that Aries and DIF and some other projects have already started working on this. So I just wanted to put those two on the record.
Okay, great. Thanks, Dimitri. Sumita.
I just wanted to follow up on what Chris was talking about with the DMVs. Have we heard anything from maybe like the ID plastic manufacturers, for example, IDEMIA? Are they part of this conversation, or are we also pursuing in parallel integration with the respective DMVs? I'm speaking just from a U.S. market perspective. I'm not sure about the international reach, but that's definitely something that we're interested in. Also, a question for Drummond. I was looking on the Evernym site, not seeing IDEMIA as on the Sovereign site, not seeing IDEMIA as a steward. So I'm just curious if you guys are having conversations with the actual plastic manufacturers for the licenses.
Interesting. I'm
happy to. Do you want me to answer that or wait in the queue? I put myself in the queue.
Let's get to you in the queue because we're running low on time, so I just want to make sure we get through everyone.
All good.
Next up, Ken, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the interoperability issue and that I think an initial focus on recognizing the other formats to be able to correctly identify them. Secondly, to be able to verify those additional formats, whether they're based on signature styles that are not native to the, like Sovereign's not, that doesn't use JOTS as a native signature style, but we should be able to recognize that format and then verify that format. And then a third phase would be to be able to issue using those same types of formats so that the interoperability becomes more universal. And that's all going on in the Aries project right now. So the beginning stages of that are happening. We're nowhere near being able to issue a different type of credential.
Okay, and I know we're running out of time, but Ken, since you mentioned that Aries project, but how do you see us being able to work with and support that work over at Aries here in CCG?
The main focus of the Aries project is to first establish interoperability and communication between various issuers of credentials. Also focus on universal wallet standards to be able to collect and store those types of credentials. And then part of that project right now is the separation out of things that are specific to like Hyperledger Indy or Sovereign into a layer below so that other types of ledgers can plug in and interoperate as well with the higher level layers that deal with just the protocol and communications and the storage of the credentials.
Okay,
and
cool.
I think this community can be helpful in providing inputs, and other people can contribute various signature styles and interoperability of their own favorite flavor so that that project is able to coalesce some of those things into a central place.
Okay, someone was trying to get a word in.
Sorry, it's Sam Chase. I'm not on, if you could add me to the queue. I was just thinking something that came up at the Solid workshop was V-cards, and I was thinking Dimitri could probably speak to it better, but just that it seems like a verifiable V card, like you could share, would be a really cool first use case before a wallet, because that would be something that touches humans by choice. And maybe like could also be a pretty clear data shape based off of what's already there. Just a thought, might be neat.
Okay, thanks, Sam. Go ahead, Manu.
Yeah, so noting that we're almost out of time, and I think that the group probably has many, many more good ideas, I'm wondering if we should do this again next week, but with a focus on hearing from people that we don't normally hear from. So, I mean, you know, everyone that spoke already, great ideas and things like that, but I'd really like to hear from the people that we don't hear from on a regular basis, maybe some of the newer people that have joined, just to get some, you know, get some more input. So, yeah, I mean, so Heather's saying, you know, maybe we could do a survey. Maybe it's a survey, you know, in some cases it's really difficult for people new to this group to kind of speak up. It can be intimidating, so that's where written communication is good. Maybe through the mailing list, but certainly, you know, on the call, I think one of the things that we need to do better is make space for other people to talk on the on here. So yeah, you know, and I don't think we should be picky about how we gather the data. Just, you know, hit the group with a flood of information, and then it's up to us to sort it out and put it out there. I'm gonna run down a list pretty quickly. This is the same thing I sent to the mailing list. But you know, what was it today? There was just another massive data breach. 100 million people lost their PII again for, you know, what, the 50th time in the last decade. So, you know, I think there is a question around data portability. So we're going to store these verifiable credentials in our health records somewhere. How do we make sure that that data is ours and it's not locked into yet another, you know, vendor that owns our data? So the secure data hubs work, the identity hub work, the, you know, hyperledger Aries work, all very important. But maybe focusing on data portability is something that all of us have in common, you know, encrypted in transit, encrypted at rest, that kind of stuff. I also wanted to plus one the interop problem that we have. So we are all implementing to the standard, but we are still not interoperable with one another. So this includes wallet issuer verifier interop. It includes did interop, and that is a long-term thing. It takes, you know, it takes constant tending to make sure that works. Also a big plus one for how do we get verifiable credentials from point A to point B. So, you know, there is the credential handler API, and that's been around for a while. It does achieve some of the things that people outlined, but clearly there are other things like the data minimization stuff that it doesn't necessarily take into account. The linked data proofs and signatures stuff, that is hard, thankless work, but it does need to be done. The whole cryptographic proofs and, you know, formality of the digital signatures, you know, we need to work on that. There is verifiable credentials 1.1 and verifiable credentials extensions. Like, we're not done with verifiable credentials. We need to help people get it out in industry and market verticals like finance and education and healthcare. And then, of course, the registries work. All that's technical work. There's also non-technical work that we need to do. So we had a discussion about nonviolent communication last week or the week before, which was great. You know, there continues to be I think it's calmed down a little bit, but there is going to continue to be friction between the various communities and people operating in the communities, and we should attempt to tend to that as on a continuing basis. The other thing, of course, is field work. So there have been some concerns that, you know, we're coming up with use cases and we don't have contact with the problem. And we really need to, if we are going to work on, you know, refugee use cases or bullying use cases on the internet and the web, that we should certainly go out into the field and work with people that work on that kind of stuff on a week-to-week basis. And then finally, you know, we do have a communication problem. It's really easy for us to discuss these things in this group, but it is drinking from a massive fire hose to join the group. And we need to get better about communicating our ideas. I think, you know, IAW and rebooting help quite a bit in that respect. But, you know, something as simple as a well-written one-pager about DIDs or verifiable credentials or secure data hubs or credential handlers, all of those things would help us go out and talk to other people about it, or empower other people to talk about the work we're doing here. So that's a short list, but I'd really like, you know, during the next call, to hear from people that we don't hear from that often. That's it.
Okay, great. So we are a little bit over, but Drummond, you've been waiting patiently. Why don't you wrap us up?
Oh, I was Samita got an answer to her question about IDEMIA. That yes, there have been a lot of discussions there. They have not been interested so far, embraced self-sovereign identity or verifiable credentials. They've been actively promoting, shall we say, a different standard, an ISO. I believe it's an ISO standard. And so it's something that some of us in the community have been quite involved with. IBM has been more involved than anyone else I know. I'm happy to discuss that more offline if that's helpful.
Okay, great. Thank you, Drummond. And let's wrap. I'm sorry it went a little bit over, but I wanted to get those last couple of contributions in. So thank you all for coming. We will revisit this, if not next week, in a following week. But I think and I echo Manu's interest in getting more folks to chime in. So thank you all for your contributions, and we'll look forward to continuing the conversation.